The following message is from Crown Reformed Assembly.
Celebrate democracy day, but you know, what was supposed to be a quiet day turned out to be a day of protest all over the nation, you know, from Ojota to Abuja. And I learned yesterday that some, you know, few young men that dared to come out were also arrested at Ojota yesterday. Some people were shot at Abuja. You know, there was a massive protest, you know, in Ilori and so many other, you know, parts of this nation. You know, as we seek to think about what we are going through as a nation, it's really sad. It's really sad to imagine that our Nigeria, you know, will be going through a time like this. And it's for these reasons that we thought it wise to continue in the spirit of what we had yesterday, to dedicate the whole service today to a time of praying for our nation. And I was grateful for the first session of prayers that we had this morning, basically on our nation. I want to thank God for those who were, you know, strong enough yesterday to have waited on the Lord and fasted. And it was indeed a wonderful time when we prayed together by six. Actually, the leadership had started their own fast on Friday. You know, we started to pray and to wait on the Lord from Friday until yesterday. And as I talk to you now, you know, there are chains of prayers all over this nation. Volume of prayers going to God from all over the nation, you know. So I have titled this short exhortation to us this morning as praying for our nation in times like this. How do we pray? How do we pray as a church, as Christians, as people of God for our nation? We have another place, you know, that we can call a nation. This is the only place we can call home. I don't know. I don't. Maybe there are some people who have dual nationality. You can escape, you know, if you like. But for some of us, you know, I have only one passport, you know, and that's the green and white, you know, and we have no other place. You know, and I tell my children, I say, wherever you go to, never forget, this is the home of your father. I don't care whether you take the nationality of where you go to, you know, I must and I want to be buried here. And you have to be here, you know, when I'm gone. This is your home. This is where we were born. This is where our parents were born. And we're grateful. I thank God for that phrase our brother made. It's not, you know, it's not an accident that we are here. I know maybe Brother Dio wish, you know, he was British or an American. You know, you watch some films and you hear these Americans. You know, this is the greatest nation on earth. Well, that is to them. For us, Nigeria is what? The greatest nation on earth. This is where the Lord has planted us. And he planted us here for a purpose that his glory through us might be revealed to the world. Amen. So what do we do as a church, as a people that serve a God at a time like, do we fold our arms? Do we pretend that all that we see happening all around us do not, you know, affect us, or, you know, it doesn't affect who we are as Christians? Or do we hide under, you know, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God? God will do all he will do, and no one can stop what he wants to do. And then we do nothing. Or do we join the millions of people with placards on the road, you know, join the protests, protesting against the evil that we have so now become accustomed to in this nation? Everywhere, every day, the news we hear are just so disturbing. How do we pray at a time like this? One day it's bombing in the northeast. It's kidnapping, banditry in the Northwest. And even the South-South and the Southwest. What do we have? We have thuggery, armed robbery. I don't know whether you had the news over the weekend. You know, some herdsmen were caught coming from Ondo State, coming into Lagos. In fact, the news we're hearing over the weekend, Pastor, was that our area is now infected with herdsmen. And people were calling me everywhere that you guys don't go out, or we hear now Ikorodu, you know, the outskirts of Ikorodu. I don't know whether you heard that we have some henchmen now, you know, just waiting to pounce. And I saw the picture, you know, last night of how these young men in a Toyota van were caught armed, coming to Lagos. We don't know what they're coming in to do. This is the news all over the nation. And yet we have a government on seat who seem to have lost grip on the security situation of our nation. How do we pray at a time like this? This is a nation with so much promise of greatness. So much promise of greatness. But we're being held down by forces we do not even understand. There was a time in this nation, you know, some of you might not know this, in the universities, you are served free food, chicken. Chicken. Ice cream. I used to run to Unilag. I used to go sometimes I travel all the, my brother will ask me to come to Ife. On Sundays, it is big chicken and ice cream. When I was in Baptist Academy during my secondary school days, they were still washing students' clothes for people who stayed in dormitories. This nation, we're given free books. Free books. There was a time even Lagos State was given bursary to very talented students. Now some people here, I've spoken to some people here, you know, who went through all their college days, university days, on what? Government bursaries. But these things are no more. A nation with a promise of greatness. We have some of the most talented people on earth scattered all over the world. You know, not long ago I saw a picture of a young man who got to Heathrow. Is it Heathrow or Gatwick? One of those two airports in Britain. And he was sending pictures home. And I was saying, bye-bye, Nigeria. You know, bye-bye, Nigeria. As far as he was concerned, he's escaped. He's left. It's a sad thing. We're losing our youth in millions. People are leaving this country. If I pass on myself, this is our major concern. We keep telling ourselves, maybe by the end of next year, I don't know how many people will be left in this church. Because everybody wants to migrate. Everybody wants to migrate. When I talk to people, my heart is pounding. I hope you're not going tomorrow. The rate at which we're losing people. Pastor Femi was sharing with us. He said his situation is even worse. That there was a time he had to do a whole series. That look, what are you people going out to look for? God is in this place. Otherwise, the whole church, then who will now do the work of ministry, you know, in the land if everybody goes? The youth are the strength of the nation. The hope of this nation lies in the youth. The church, without you guys, the church is finished. It's finished. So what we did yesterday by waiting on the Lord and fasting is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Our Bible reading, let's start there. We'll get to our text. Our text is from Habakkuk. But I want to point out something here. The Bible reading our brother just read to us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, first of all. First of all, I exhort you. I encourage you. First of all, that supplications, that prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for how many people? For all men. First of all, now I did, you know, a little research last night as I was studying, preparing for today's message. And I checked through all the, you know, the Bible, what do you call them now? Translations I could get on my phone, in my house. And all the translations I read had that phrase, first of all. That is, before you do anything else, you must prioritize this. When you come together as a body, individually in your walk with God, this must be prioritized. You know, sometimes we read, we have become so accustomed, we have become so used to certain passages of scriptures that they have lost their strength and true meaning on us. It says, first of all, when you come together, before you do anything else, prayers, intercessions, supplications, thanksgiving must be made for all men. Then he gave us the classes of this man, for kings and for all those that were in authority. Why? Why do we need to do this? It says, one, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It means failure to do this could alter our lives, the way we live our lives, and the way we ought to give worship to our God. You must prioritize this as children of God. When you fail to do this, it could change a lot of things about us. Imagine if for some reason, I mean, we cannot gather to worship. Thank God for technology today. I know the first thing you will say is, we can meet online now. I mean, COVID is giving back to an online church now. You can meet online. But what happens if that medium too also comes under an attack? Don't you think it is possible? How many of you, you know, have thought that in this, our Nigeria, where, you know, almost 75% of the population is under the ages of 18 and 35? Am I wrong with that statistics? You check it. How many of you would have imagined in this country we can have a nation, I mean, a government in seat in 2021 that can, you know, boldly suspend Twitter? This is the language of the youth. This is the medium and means for many of them for doing business, for communicating, sharing ideas. Look, we have come to a time in this nation where nothing surprises us again. Have you? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, we all watch on TV, or now they are telling us it was propaganda, it was film. But I don't know whether it is or it is real. But me, I saw it. People were shooting people at Lekki Toll Gate. Now we don't even know who is telling the truth anymore. They're almost confusing and turning our head upside down. We don't know what really happened. But we saw it. Anything can happen in this nation. So what happens? Even if that medium that we think we have comes under an attack. Don't you know that there are certain nations on this, you know, in this world where they don't have free access to the internet as we do here? This is why we need to prioritize praying, interceding, supplicating on behalf of our nation and our people and the leadership, so that you may lead what a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That our walk with God, the quality of what we receive when we come together, be not diminished. We're still struggling with few people in this church. You know what this COVID, you know what it cost? Some of you might not know, but the leadership, we know what we are grappling with at the moment. Some have become discouraged. Some are already backsliding. It's become a convenient excuse for many right now to gather with God's children. And I keep saying this, online church, with all due respect to our brethren who are there, I know there are some who genuinely cannot make it, so that they have to join. But I keep saying this, an online participation in our worship service can never be exchanged for, you know, what we are having now. It can never. You know, sometimes even when we're praying, you know, who knows what you are doing when you leave your own phone open there and they call, can Pastor Arimoro pray for us? Can Pastor Arimoro pray for us? Is he there? Pastor Arimoro probably has, you know, he's run to the gate or to the toilet. He's doing something else. He's answering another call. Who knows? We're not seeing you. Who are you deceiving? That's why we cannot afford to allow the online opportunity to take over, you know, our, you know, in-person gathering to encourage one another. And I keep telling us, it's not just from the pulpit we get strength and we get blessed when we come to church. Just looking at people. When I came into church this morning and I saw my sister, because she has been weak, she has been sick last week, when I saw, I was encouraged. I was filled with joy. These are the days that you hear people, they just have headache. And the next thing is they're gone. Haven't you heard that before? So when we see one another, we're able to rejoice with one another. There are people here, even in this church, whose faith is now being threatened, who have been tempted to go back. Because we had, you know, we had few months where we couldn't gather. I give you one other example before we go to our test. Why we need to prioritize this in church. And not just when we come together. We must take this seriously, even in our prayer times. We must learn to pray, to supplicate on behalf of our nation. Look at verse 3. He says, for this is good and what? Acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I know, you know, verse 4 is a contentious verse. Unfortunately, some have misinterpreted this verse. You know, they try to isolate verse 3 and 4 from verse 1 and 2. And when you do that, you read another meaning into it. Okay? You could assume that the Bible is saying that God is saying that all men will be saved. But when you read it from verse 1, you come to understand in context what was on the mind of Paul. What was Paul saying here? That God does not intend to save only one particular class of people. But he wants to reach all social classes in our society. The kings, our traditional rulers included. There are some traditional rulers in this country who have become born again. Okay? That sometimes I watch, you know, the Redeem program, and I see chiefs, traditional rulers. Forget the fact that, you know, we might not agree on theology and all, you know. But it gives me joy to see these high chiefs with all the traditional stuffs sitting there in churches, bowing to the Lordship of Jesus. So God has a plan. He's destined that some of them, high up there, also come to the knowledge of the truth. And it has pleased him in his own sovereign wisdom to use the prayers of saints to work out the salvation of his people. Doesn't mean that God depends on you to save his people, but he has chosen to work with our prayers. He's chosen. So be careful when the next time we're joining the outside voices to abuse and say all kinds of things against our leaders. You know, so I read some things about our president. It's not as if I like, you know, the way he's administering the country. But how are you sure it's not even among the elect that God has chosen to be saved? How embarrassed will I be to get to heaven and see Buhari, the man that has so much castigated, called all kinds of names? How will I be embarrassed to see people that have called names, Luther, this and that? He has planned for some of them, and that is why we ought to be praying. We don't know who among them that the Lord will draw, that the Lord will save. And we see something later in our text. Why do God allow these things? Why? So this morning we want to briefly look at how we should pray as a church. Let's go to our text, Habakkuk chapter 2. Now that we have seen the necessity of prayers, of supplicating for our nation, for all our people, we want to see how we should pray. How we should pray. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. Chapter 2, I read from verse 1. And I will see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. What am I reading? Chapter 1. How am I going to chapter 2? May the Lord deliver us from the problem of this nation. My text is chapter 1, but I'm going to chapter 2. Praise the Lord. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Oh Lord, how long shall I what? And thou will not hear. Even cry unto thee of violence, but you will not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievous? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that the race of strife and contention. Therefore the Lord slapped. Judgment never goes forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, and therefore the judgment proceeded not. Behold ye among the heathen, the Lord replied him, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. As we consider this text and this man, we see a lot of similarities between the man and ourselves. Between the times in which he wrote this book and penned this for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and our time. We also see the pain, the anguish, the intensity in which this man prayed. The burden that he carried for his people. How long, O Lord, shall I cry? And you're not answering. Don't forget, here is a man that is called by God, anointed as a spokesman of God to the people, a prophet. How long shall I cry? How long will I pray? What does that suggest to us? What does that say to us? You know how long we have been praying for this nation? There are prophecies I can tell you that I had, 20 years ago about this nation. I don't know when it will come to pass. I don't know whether you've had that prophecy where it was spoken that Nigeria is on the hand of, the gun thing. Have you had something like that? That from this nation, God is going to be shooting things out to the ends of the world. You know, if there's anything we're shooting at, is thuggery, iniquity, it's bad music. These are the things we're exporting. Bad theology. This is what, is that the prophecy? You go to any part of the world now, Nigerians are the major frontline fake pastors and teachers pushing fake theology. Every part. In fact, you go to Africa now, we own everywhere. How long shall we cry? Habakkuk seemed to have been praying. This burden had been on his heart for such a long. He had been praying for long. There is a movement in this country. I got involved, with that movement when I was in the university. Intercessors for Nigeria. I don't know if you have heard of that movement. Intercessors for Nigeria. Emeka Nwankpa, barrister engineer is saying, Steve Okitikpa or whatever. These guys, their major preoccupation is traveling all over the nation, organizing prayers for the land. Now intercessors for Nigeria has now, metamorphosed into intercessors for Africa. As I speak, this movement is still ongoing. People have been praying like forever for this nation. The volume of prophetic praying that is gone over this nation. How long shall we cry? Even amidst us here, I've had brethren, share their frustration about praying for the land. Sister Esther was praying one day. We learn from prayers. We're encouraged through praying. And that's why we should be part of our praying on Saturdays. We not only get blessed when we read scriptures, you get inspired, you get knowledge when you listen to people's prayers. I love to listen to, everybody's prayer. She was praying one day. You know what she said? And she was honest. We will get to it. She was honest. She said, "Lord, we don't even know what to say. Sometimes we're even tired. We get tired. We're frustrated. Is it worth it? All I see is iniquity. All I see is violence. The law has become powerless. Justice never goes forth. It's a nation, or it's turned into a nation where the legal system only works for the rich and powerful. Our judges can be bought. All our lawyers now, all they do, if you're not strongly connected, you have to hang around a police station. It's amazing. People spend 5 years in university, another year to serve, and all you do is to be fellowshipping with policemen. You hang around police station to do what? Obey dogs, people that police people arrest. That's what they do. Or you hang around all these magistrates' courts. When they see you, they rush to you. What is that thing we do? That paper we do? Affidavit. Is it affidavit? Affidavit? Lawyer. Affidavit. And then you give them 2,000, 3,000. You don't even know where they go to. They just bring out a paper to you. They just ask you, what do you want? There's no proof. There's nothing. Just tell them, look, I lost my ID card. I lost my car. Even if you are lying, they will come out with it. With this, with, you know, with a seal. That is the kind of nation is the whole thing is torn into. There's no relief. There's no deliverance in sight. This was the same situation in the time of Habakkuk. He was burdened and overwhelmed with the sin of the people of Judah. But there's something here I want us to learn. Maybe 2-3 lessons from the life of this man. Even when it seems God was quiet, silent. When it seems, you know, every time he prays, what he observes, what he sees, it's like the whole thing getting worse. How about if you do? Has things gotten worse in Nigeria? Is there a sign of the effect of our prayers over this nation? I mean, truly speaking, is there a physical sign? We're not God, okay? We're not God. He's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. But that's human. Is there a sign? When the last administration were there, I was one of those who were saying, this corruption is too much. This leadership is too weak. We need somebody that is, you know, that is very strong will. We need a military person. We need this man. He will come and you know, chase all these, our looters away. That's what we thought. But check out the, you know, corruption index now that is being brought out, you know, every day all over. Our number now, let's not even say it. So embarrassing. We become worse. The people who have come to catch looters have become super looters themselves. Everybody is looting in this country. Everybody. And this just didn't start now. The level of corruption in this country, you have to be a bit close to them to know what is happening. You have to be a bit close. It will amaze you. Brother Yubi was sharing some things with me. Was it last week or 2 weeks? You'll be amazed. There's so much money in this country. None of us should suffer. But our whole commonwealth, few people, a tiny percentage of this nation, taking it to themselves. Lord, why do you continue to allow us to see this, to experience this, with the volume of prayers that keeps going to you every day? The poor, the needy, the widows, they keep crying. Why? This was the cry of Habakkuk. Do we give up? Do we get discouraged? Oh, we share in his frustration. But should that lead us to just hands our hand off? Well, I'm waiting for the kingdom. Maranatha, amen. Let him come quickly. Is that how we should respond? The very first thing that we see about Habakkuk in this text is his persistence, unwavering persistence in prayer. Oh yes, he asked some very tough, honest, hard questions. We're able to see and read his frustration, but he was persistent in prayer. He didn't quit. He stayed there. How long shall I cry? Even with the passive slowness of God to act, he remained. You know, today we're confronted with huge problems in this country that only God can resolve. Listen, there's no, let's not deceive ourselves. What we are facing in this country, if God doesn't intervene and do something and put, you know, the right pegs in the right hole, is that how it is said? Bring the right people, give them, you know, the courage to do what is right. Huge problems in this nation. Our hope is only in the Lord. In all this, Sister Yetunde, we must pray on. We must hang on. We must continue. We must stay in the place of prayers. We must continue. We must be persistent. This is our calling as his children. Does he care? Does God care? You know, this is a question that has haunted countless people. In fact, even over the ages, it's not just now this question is being asked. Does God care? Why does he allow evil in the world? If God is all powerful, why does he allow evil and suffering? Is it really, you know, concerned about us? Does he answer our prayers? Habakkuk also struggled with these questions. When you pray, do you really believe that God answers? How do we know God answers our prayers? Is it when the answer comes, bam? Or is it, you know, how do we put it then? The still small inner voice. Does God really answer our prayers? Listen, every time we pray, and this encouraged me as I meditated on scriptures again. These are not deep things. These are not new revelations we are sharing with ourselves. These are things that we already know. But sometimes we need to be reminded of this. We should remind ourselves of these things. Every time we pray, every time we talk to God, he hears us. The Bible says his ears are inclined to the prayers of the righteous. Who is the righteous? Who is the righteous? The good man? Who is the righteous? The good man? The one who is able to obey the Ten Commandments? Today, by the grace of God, we are the righteousness of God in whom? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. The Bible says, by the new and living way, by the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross, we have been given access. It says, come unto me. We have access to the Father. And every time we pray, every time you open your mouth to the Lord, he hears your prayers. He answers our prayers. The answer might not exactly be what we want, you know, him to do, but he answers them. It could be yes, it could be no, it could be wait. But he answers every prayer. There is no wasted prayer. Please, can we pass some sweets around? Amen. He hears our prayers. But then the other challenge is, so why does he allow evil in the world? Why does he allow people who have no concern for God and his laws to seem to be the ones that are prospering and getting ahead? You know, there was a time in this nation that all we're praying for, you know, was a Christian president. And then there was one, you know, that's one man who came out with a prophecy and said God has given him the name of the next president. He's going to be, his name is in the Bible. And you know, is it Shamgar or something he gave us there? You know, in the Old Testament, we have all kinds of names. We are looking for Taye, you see it in the Bible. You see something that looks like it. It says Shamgar or something. Then he said it was Shagari. Yeah. And then we will dedicate all our time and our praying that God will raise us a born-again believer. A believer. We just felt that once we have a born-again, you know, as a president, everything will be okay. Now we have a born-again as vice president. I don't know whether it's better or it's worse. If everybody now is born, you'll be amazed. You'll be shocked if you talk to Buhari. Buhari will tell you, I'm born again. Who's not born again in Nigeria? I met you, all of them. They're all born again. They tell you that, look, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. That's the theology we preach, isn't it? They're all born again. They all come to church with billions to do Thanksgiving. So we're wasting our time when we invest our energy in praying, selecting people. There was a time in this nation, Christians will come, give money to pastors. And you know, I saw some on TV. You know, they're anointing people with oil, you know, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I anoint you to become the president of Nigeria. Go forth. All kinds of anointing everybody to become president. It's a waste of time. Why does it seem that sometimes God uses evil, wicked, greedy, ungodly men to be the ones to be in charge? They are the ones that seem to be prospering. They are the ones that are ahead. Why? Why will our God not take our righteous, holy pastor? Can you imagine if Pastor Ayina is the president of this nation? We'll be having reform kind of prayers every morning. At Aso Rock. But why can we not genuinely have, you know, a servant of God who loves the Lord to be the president of a nation? Why? You know, I was a minister of God one time. We invited him to our church when we were in Gambia. He preached, and he was sharing with us an experience. He was one of these men that, you know, that leads prayer all over the continent. And he said when Chiluba wanted to become president in Zambia, no, Chiluba had become, he had gotten born again, you know, like everybody's getting born again. Chiluba got born again, and he turned his crusades, rally into crusade grounds. So they will invite, you know, he will invite men of God. He invite this, you know, my friend and other powerful men of God. And when they are doing their rally, they will wave their hands and people will start falling under the anointing. And the whole nation was excited. Now we have an anointed man. Chiluba will lift up his hands in his rally and people will start falling. Say, God has come down. Zambia will never be the same. No sooner he became president, corruption upon corruption. Things began to happen in Zambia. I want to see that my friend again. What happened now, man of God, with all your praying? You know, we raised an altar here. All the existing altars, all the altars. They pulled down altars. They went to Zambia. They pulled down altars. On the crusade ground, they anointed the man. They pulled down and put some new altars. Nothing worked. Because the heart of man, you see, it's only the cross of Christ that can change the heart of man. That can make a man, you know, there. I've never been to Asoroko. I've never been there. Somebody went there that I know. He followed Oyedepo. And he was sharing, you know, with us. He said the floor alone, when he got there, he said, man of God, I don't know how heaven will be, but he did give me this place alone to spend the rest of my eternity. It's okay for me. See, there's no way you will enter that place and a spirit will not come over you. The spirit of remain. There's no way you will enter that place. But why? You know, sometimes in the purposes of God, and we need to, you know, I want to be a bit slow here. And let me just read out what I wrote here. That sometimes in the purposes of God, God allows sinners, wicked people, he permits them to express themselves to high degrees of wickedness before he arises to save them. Now, I know that statement can be contentious, but this is what we see in scriptures. That sometimes in his purposes, he allows men, wicked people, to exhibit their wickedness to the whole world. He allows their heart to be thoroughly exposed, the depravity of their heart to be seen to all. I give you maybe one or two examples. How many of us have read about Manasseh in 2 Chronicles? How did he start out? Manasseh was a wicked king. Read it in 2 Chronicles 20 or 22. It says he did so much abominations in the sight of the Lord. So much. He was a wicked fellow. But what happened? God allowed him to display all his wickedness. All the evil in his heart was allowed to be displayed. Eventually, before God transformed him into a godly man. How about our popular, revered man of God? The man that gave us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. How much have the New Testament? Apostle Paul. How did we first meet him? Saul of Tarsus. You think Paul was joking when he called himself the worst of sinners? Here was a man that did everything possible to silence and finish the church of Jesus Christ. Here was a man who blasphemed against God. God allowed him. Become the best of the sinner you can be. And why does he do this? Why does he do this? Because eventually, when people come to the Lord, when they come to saving grace in Jesus, we will come to understand that God's mercy is far, far greater than man's sins. Our ways are not his ways. Don't forget what we read in 2 Timothy, that he wills that all men be saved. Okay? He wills that all men be saved. Matthew, don't be amazed. Some of these people we call wicked today, they're going to be with us in heaven. Some of them. Because I tell you, look, we don't have all the answers to these things. Why did God give us Buhari? Why? I know some people will say God is teaching Nigeria a lesson. We have been learning. How long are we going to learn this lesson? We had Abacha. We never learned a lesson. We had Obasanjo. You know, there was a time Obasanjo. You know what he did to the South? It's only people in the Southwest and the Northerners that like Buhari. I mean, Obasanjo. You go to the South side, come almost wipe the whole village. We have not learned our lessons then. We don't have all the answers. But his ways are not our ways. Yes, I will agree sometimes. He raises evil men to bring judgment on his people. Isn't it? But that was the answer he even gave Habakkuk. He says, listen. Just be concerned. Don't be too concerned about what is happening internally. Look at the nations around you. Because I'm going to do a work that even if you were told, you would not believe it. I'm raising a nation. And I'll permit them to come. They will bring judgment. So sometimes God does raise wicked men to bring judgment, to bring correction, to do a work. But sometimes, and I'm stressing this because I'm staying on the side of us, persisting in prayers, seeing a need why we have to pray, even in times like this. Praying for our leaders, for kings, for traditional rulers. Sometimes, Sister Kate, he allows these evil men, he allows them to become so evil, to exhaust all the evilness, if there's anything like that, in their heart. And then he comes, transforms them. And so that the whole world will see that this grace of God, just like that thief, is it the one on the right or on the left side of Jesus on the cross? An armed robber. Who? Just by the stroke of the mercy of God was forgiven. And now in God's presence. So brethren, let us be persistent in prayer. God is at work. The vision of God is global. It's global. You know, some of the things that are happening around us in Cameroon, in Niger, in Ghana, you know, recently our people in Ghana were so dead with the shops were destroyed. You know, even some of the things that happened far away in the Americas, in Canada, they are not isolated from what we are going through. Our God has a global purpose, has a global vision. Everything is working together for his purpose in accordance to what he has set for himself before time. So that's why he was telling Habakkuk, don't be too concerned about the internal affairs of your nation. Look outside. Look to the nations, because I will do something that will affect this place. So when we don't see result, when we don't physically see changes, I don't know who's going to become the next president. I wish I know, I would tell you. But eventually Buhari comes back. But eventually he comes back. We won't run out of Nigeria. We won't do like Andrew. But eventually a more wicked person becomes the president. Let our confidence be in God, not in men, not in the wisdom of men. Because we know God, he is at work. He says, I walk a walk. He might not be, he might be working to save these people. He might be working with the nations around us. There are things that will happen in Togo, in Cameroon, in South Africa, that we have an effect on the people that are staying in Kano, in Abuja, and in Lagos. He sits in the heavens. He ruleth over the affairs of men. The earth is his footstool. The heaven is his throne. He's in charge of all the affairs of the world. Nothing escapes him. And he wants us to be praying. He wants us to prioritize praying. In a minute, I'm going to ask Pastor to come and lead us in another 5-10 minute session of prayers. I know we do this, but we have to do it more. I was sharing with my wife last night. I couldn't stop repeating that phrase. First of all, the first thing you do. And it changed me since yesterday. So I want to pray now. This is my calling as a child of God. I said, Lord, I pray for my nation. I pray for my leaders. I don't know what you are doing, Lord, but I know there are some of them that you have destined unto salvation. As many of them, no matter how wicked they are, have mercy. Reach out to them. Save them. As many among these ones that are looters, that are wicked people, greedy people, Lord, save them. Have mercy. I pray for our traditional kings, all our traditional rulers, all the others. Some of them are so infested into tradition, into idolatry. But Lord, you can reach out and save them. I pray for the nations around us. I thank you for what you are doing in the nations around us. Because, Lord, you are at work. This is our calling as a church, as believers. May we not fail God in the place of prayers. So I set a hedge, you know, Ezekiel. How did that word? As it put, I raised a man, a watchman, who will stand in the gap. Who will be interceding and praying for them? Please don't get tired of praying for Nigeria. Don't get tired. God is depending on our prayers. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Crown Reformed Assembly, a Bible Center church in Ogba, Lagos. To know more about us, please visit our website at www.crownreformed.org.